What's up, everyone? Danny Sport Talk back with another episode, and today I got A-Rod back on.
What's going on, guys?
And I also got Salvatore from We the Patriots.
Hey. Glad to be back on.
Yeah. It's only been like another
one episode.
But it's all right. We're getting new gear in, so he only come on, test everything out and stuff, so it's going to get better as we go.
It's good to have him here.
So we're going to dive into the first topic right away. Expectations for our teams this year.
Oh, all right.
So, right, A-Rod, you already know, is a Red Sox fan. Fucking biased.
Die hard.
All right, let him go first.
Yeah.
A-Rod, where are your Red Sox going this year?
Okay. Unbiased opinion.
Remember, you're debating two Yankee fans also. So.
Yeah. I need to be careful.
I'm not going to debate.
I need to be careful. All right, so unbiased opinion. Just off our playoff experience last year and our playoff performance, you know, we're going into the playoffs. I think we were third seed, you know, behind the Yankees. You know, we weren't supposed to win.
Nah.
I'll tell you that right now. Coming off Chris Sale not being 100% healthy, coming back pitching.
There's a lot of doubts going into
exactly.
That
Kyle Schwarber coming into the mix. We didn't know how he was going to perform. You know, we did have heavy hitters as J.D. Martinez, Rafael Devers, Kike really kicked up in the playoffs. But, you know, we weren't supposed to win. Our spreads were probably plus 1,000 to even make it past the first round.
Yep.
Then we come off, you know, beating the Yankees, you know, exiting Gerrit Cole, I think the first, second inning, you know.
Yeah. Big time.
It was a really good feeling to be a Red Sox fan, right? Mm-hmm. You get past the Yankees and, you know, you have to go through the powerhouse team of the Rays. You know, they've been sparking up shit since, what, two, three seasons, which is very much, you know, surprising because when you think of the Rays, you don't really think of any powerhouse hitters. You know, you have one Wander
they're
Franco
just a
coming
team,
up.
Dude.
Yeah. There's just a team with great chemistry.
Yeah,
and if I had to relate it to
any well built team,
exactly. If I had to relate it to
any
other team,
I'll just step
team.
In right here. I don't see them losing this AL East unless a big catastrophe comes.
Really?
Oh yeah,
this year. Yeah, the Rays. Yeah, I just don't see it.
Yeah,
you know, like they've
unbiased,
turned into a juggernaut.
Yeah, unbiased. I think the Rays end up first seed as well.
Yeah,
I think the Red Sox come in a close second with the Yankees, like last year.
I honestly can almost second that.
Yeah,
because I will say, don't get me wrong, the Blue Jays are very much so a great team.
Well, there's a lot of people trying to say that that's the most talented team in the East, which, you can make a case for.
I make a case for talented. I'd say in a young core aspect, I say them.
I feel like you still have to go with the Rays.
And the Rays.
Top of them.
The Blue Jays and the Rays
but
are
But it just so happens
talented.
That the Rays, I think the Rays are at that development stage just above the Blue Jays.
Oh, yeah.
Where the Blue Jays are hoping to be in two years, maybe next year.
No, yeah, most def.
Where the Rays are there. So they have to capitalize.
Maybe in this year.
Because you have...
Well, they have to capitalize. Yeah. And the Blue Jays have a big opportunity to jump up the leaderboard here.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I wanted to talk about, because I kind of agree with your Red Sox prediction. I find it hard to put the Yankees at even third. I got to be honest. I find it hard to be solid on that as a Yankees fan, because you don't see great chemistry with even the locker room into the staff. The fans dislike Cashman. I dislike Cashman for some of the decisions he's made on a broader scale.
Yeah.
And then, so you look back on the longer transaction history of the guy, and it really turns out a lot of his moves haven't worked. You know, and people are looking at that. Players are looking at that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, players aren't too happy with what's going on. Why are you trading away big pieces? Why are you trading, you know?
Right,
so you have this kind of issues going on, and you're hoping to push up a young core that, you know, they're trading away so much.
Yeah,
So you're hoping for, like, Dominguez to come up. You're hoping for Luis Gil to ping out. But you traded away so many other strong core prospect pieces. I don't really know if you have a team to come up.
Nah, most definitely.
And that's where I say, like, the Blue Jays have a big opportunity to even catch up to the Red Sox. Now, I'm not saying beat them, but tie in, get in that second wild card, beat them out, because I think the Rays are the team to beat. Not necessarily in the AL, but they could be.
Nah,
because, I mean, the Astros are just such a good team. They're well-built. They have good management. And, just as a Yankees fan, like I said, it's like watching the house fall down.
Yeah, definitely. That goes back to your take on the development of the Rays and Blue Jays. The Rays definitely have a one-up when it comes to the Blue Jays, because you have, what, a Randy Arozarena coming off, what, his first eight home runs in eight games.
Such a great boost to the team.
Wander Franco just signed a huge deal, so, you know, he feels comfortable that he can make a career out of himself in the Rays.
Thinking about this, dude.
The Rays are a great team, man. I think the Rays will definitely be the team to beat in the AL East. But like you said, back to your Yankees. Yankees definitely have a lot more firepower now, as you know, signing Garrett Cole.
Yep.
You know, you're coming off
exactly big shoes to fill.
You're coming off a year where, you know, Aaron Judge and Giancarlo might be 100% healthy. It's going to be a big year. I think it's a big year for the Yankees this year. I just don't think the amount of experience and, you know, the pieces that they gave up, especially this offseason, giving up a big bat in Gary Sanchez, you know.
Well Gary Sanchez, I mean, I'm okay with letting go.
You got better defensively, don't get me wrong, because Gary Sanchez is just, you know, a lazy frog back there behind the plate. But his big bat, especially in Yankee Stadium,
in the playoffs, you know,
it was a blessing. Yeah, definitely a blessing. In the playoffs.
And you trade away him plus Urshela, who in my mind was your solid.
Urshela, I think that's where he proved himself
as the third baseman last year. And then you go out and you get an older third baseman who's supposed to slot in as your starter. And now he's got shoes to fill because now he's that ex-MVP that comes into Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I think this is a make or break season for Yankees.
Oh, I agree. I think you test it.
If you don't at least make a solid playoff run, you better blow up that team. Keep Aaron
And that
Judge.
Starts at the top. That doesn't mean players.
Yeah,
that
mean, I mean management too as well.
I think
I think Aaron Judge, if this year blows up. Well,
I'm
I think Aaron Judge is a good trade bait.
Well,
and I don't see why you wouldn't trade
Aaron Judge with a contract extension coming up soon.
Well,
I honestly think his trade value goes down.
If the season flops.
No, if
the season
flops,
his trade value goes down.
Not if you get rid of him by trade deadline.
Yeah.
That's why it's tough, and that's why if you sign a huge extension, you have to think about, from the management side of the Yankees, they sign a huge extension, they can't trade away to small market teams.
Yeah, definitely.
So small market teams is where you're going to get your big prospect pulls. So signing Aaron Judge to a big extension right now on such a crucial year where if you fail – your whole house is going to tumble down. Do you want to offer a, you know, 7-year, $210 million, which is probably what they're going to offer?
Yeah.
Right? Somewhere in that ballpark?
Yeah, most definitely.
Right? He's worth it. I'm not saying he's not, but is that the right offer to make right now? Probably not for the Yankees.
I honestly think Aaron Judge coming into his rookie season, I think they put too much pressure on him.
But he performed.
He definitely did perform, but, you know, giving him, what, his own outfield, you know, kind of like
cosmetic, even look at his chambers.
I feel like
it doesn't really matter because look at his performance. He created, they made his atmosphere. They used it as marketing. So look at
definitely.
It as you will.
His thing's better.
But the injuries really messed him up. You commit him as a Yankee for
life from rookie season. I understand. It's a lot of pressure. And
but like his stats back it up.
It's good pressure to have.
His stats definitely backed it up. I think the first...
They still are.
He's a consistent hitter. It's just the injuries and...
Yeah, the injury taking a toll on him.
Honestly,
injuries are
you know,
big.
One man can't win it all.
No,
you know?
And he has... I noticed that in him. He has a struggle with holding it back.
Yeah.
So when the team is down by X or up by X, he's still going after balls, still jumping over the wall, still diving full out. And it's like, dude, you're six foot eight. How tall is he? 6'7"
He's pretty tall.
He's a
like
big mother.
I think he's like 6'7"
He's a big mother. And when you're laying that big ass body out there like that.
Nah, yeah, most def.
Putting yourself.
Yeah, my take.
He's
definitely
6'7"
Yeah, it's a big boy. My
282 pounds
My definitely take on the AL East this year is I say the Rays are the team to beat.
I agree. What do you think about the NL East?
The NL East.
Just so we don't harp on the AL too hard. I want to get into other divisions, too.
What is that? That's the Mets division, right?
Mets, Phillies, yeah.
Mets,
what are you thinking?
All of them.
That's your boys over there. Your Phillies are looking rough.
No, we're not. We're chilling.
It's
spring training. Relax.
I mean, just as a team standpoint.
Listen, the Mets have a solid team. They do.
They actually do.
But we all know how the Mets are. They start hot, and they go down. Then they wear out the season.
I mean, if they
evenly,
if they play their season though.
I mean, I don't know how Matt Scherzer's gonna do.
Are the Phillies number two in that division?
I think.
Who else
Phillies
are you looking
be,
at?
I think the Phillies could be one.
Yeah.
What
about the Braves?
I think Braves number one. I'd say, hot take here. I think I think Nationals take number two.
Wow. So you think the Mets are falling three or four?
Yeah. I honestly, going back to what Danny said.
And we're just going to stick the Marlins as a shove into number five.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, Marlins.
I mean, see, the signing of Jorge Soler.
Talk about a little more later, but
the signing of Jorge Soler. Don't get me wrong. Like I said before, one man can't do the job. They have some great pieces. If I don't recall, the rookie that they. Well, no, he's not a rookie, but the player that they did have.
Yeah, I forgot his name.
What's it called? Wow, I really.
He's number two, right?
I really can't think.
Who's
of
this?
Name right now.
Who are you talking about?
I think he's talking about
on the Braves.
Two. No, Marlins.
Nah, on the Marlins.
Oh, really, oh, Chisholm?
Is it number two?
Nah, not Jazz. Jazz Chisholm is definitely. He's
oh, he's good.
He's a regular.
Number two, what does he play? What position?
He plays short. Actually, he might be in the outfield. I'm thinking about it.
Is it one of those kids that they signed?
I don't know if they signed
him. A few years ago? No, one of those brothers that they signed?
No.
Oh. Well, he looks set up.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Braves 1.
Okay.
Phillies 2. Mets 3.
Yeah.
Marlins 4.
And you have the Nationals going 5.
You have the Nationals going 5.
I don't think
that's a tough decision.
I don't think the Nationals have what they have when they won that World Series.
Oh no, most def.
I don't think they're the same team as they were when they won that World Series.
Oh man. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I just don't know if I think I might see the Nationals falling to 5. I just don't know if I see the Phillies being top 2. I think they're gonna have a battle to be number 3. And the Mets and the Braves is the battle I wanna see, and I think the Braves are gonna win it. They have such a good, solid core. I love Acuna. I love their pitching staff. They still got Soroka, right? They got all those boys over there that are just
Swansby. Dansby Swansby.
I love Swansby too. That was such a good trade
for Vanderbilt, dude.
That was such a good trade for him to get him over there. They also have Albies, Albies is just a fun.
Oh, they also got Matt Olson now too.
Matt Olson is a big base. Move for them, and I really don't think the loss of Soler. I don't think it's that big of a loss. I got to be honest. I think he's.
I was surprised they didn't sign him back.
Yeah, I'm not because it was a lot of money for them to throw out there. It was like.
But the crazy thing is.
The thing is, he has good value.
Not even that. He didn't sign a big deal.
That's what I'm saying. He has good value for his cause.
Yeah.
So it looks weird for them not to sign him. But that's what I'm saying. They have so much depth going.
But like,
into
I
their,
think they.
Their minor
we,
league.
We touched it. I don't think they wanted because they were giving Matt Olson that big extension.
That's what I'm saying. So it's a big money thing.
Yeah,
to,
exactly.
Big money thing to commit. Yeah, Matt Olson is a stud.
Yeah, honestly,
I really like him.
I honestly think the decision to not sign Jorge Soler really had to do with the performance of Eddie Rosario from last year. You know, filling in those shoes when it comes to
Eddie Rosario is a big he's like a good equivalent of like a six man in basketball.
Definitely, definitely.
He's that role.
You know, going off last year, you know, he shows up in crunch time. He shows up when you need to.
He's
you
like
know,
the Braves were Marwin Gonzalez. He's a very similar player to Marwin Gonzalez.
But, yeah, like you were saying, like Eddie Rosario, you know, he came up big. He really filling Ronald Acuna's shoes after his injury, you know, those are big shoes to fill.
Big time.
Yeah. And, you know, the loss of Jorge Soler, 100% agree with you. I don't think it's that much of a loss.
Well, he helped to fill Acuna's shoes, who's now going to be supposed to be back.
Definitely. So, Acuna back, you have Eddie Rosario, you don't really need. And Eddie Rosario, you could sign him on a budget deal.
Still got Jock in left? Who are they playing in left?
Nah, Jock signed with somebody else.
I think
Peterson.
Jock signed back.
Sell the Giants.
Yeah, Jock's
who
a
they
giant
got
a,
who they got as their third outfielder now? Are they bringing that kid Pache in? He's a stud.
Yeah, Christian Pache. He's
a stud. He's
I think
fast.
He was number four, number three on.
Yeah, no,
the Braves,
he's probably gonna
the
fill
Braves
into
top
their.
10.
You know what? He's probably gonna fill in center, and Acuna's gonna move over to left. Probably,
you
I'd
think
assume.
So.
Or to right, he'll probably move over to right.
Really?
Yeah, most likely.
I mean, it's gonna be.
Well, you
got to
think you don't
coming.
Want your star hitter to be playing such a taxing position. Like, look at what's happening
to
Mike Trout.
They got Ronald Acuna. They got Marcel Osuna.
Osuna still okay, so he's probably gonna be their left fielder.
They got Austin Riley.
Austin Riley's third base.
He stays left field.
Yeah, he's gonna play third base. I think
they got Eddie Rosario. I'm just looking at the outfield people.
That's interesting. So, Go. NL East is tough, dude.
Nah, yeah.
What about NL West? Because that's the other tough one. Because I think basically every team can get in the playoffs.
NL West?
That's the Dodgers, Padres,
yeah,
Giants, Diamondbacks.
I think the Giants could come in first.
I don't think that they're far off it.
I think Rockies coming to fourth, bottom of the barrel.
Fifth. They got to come fifth.
I honestly, if I had to...
You think the Diamondbacks fall to five, maybe?
I think this is how it's going to be. Giants, Dodgers, Padres, Rockies, Diamondbacks.
Diamondbacks might fall to five.
I think Padres and fourth or third. I don't think Padres are really...
Yeah, I think the Padres are a big show, but I also think...
I don't think they got better this offseason either.
They have shoes to fill, and they're also waiting on
Luke Voit now.
They're waiting on some development.
So that kind of helps.
They're kind of waiting on Fernando to really show his true colors, stay healthy. They're kind of looking for their pitchers to find their own.
Yeah.
Like, you got a few kids on that pitching staff that just aren't, like, pitching the way that you would expect, like, number three, number four starters to pitch. And when you just don't have a culmination of guys getting hot together, it's hard.
Like,
big thing is keeping that big guy healthy. You know, Fernando Tatis not being healthy is a real pain for that team, even though he's such a star when he plays.
Yeah.
Fact of the matter is he's out, what, 30% of last season? 40% of last season?
Well, he's out this season for 3 months.
There you go. So he's going to miss an automatic more half of the season, pretty much.
Mm-hmm,
40-50% of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't have a star player like that that's constantly, you know, that's why you think about possibly moving him to third base, moving him to the outfield to take a little stress off.
Yeah, I think he should go to the outfield.
And
I think he should honestly go to, I think he should go to right field.
Yeah, he's got a good arm, you know.
He definitely
does. But this is where you look at the Padres, like you said, like, do they even have the skill to be number three and push a wild card? I don't know if they do.
You honestly, know, the signing of Luke Voit could be good for them.
Oh, it could be.
I feel like Luke Voit, the Yankees really did him dirty when it comes to the point where you're going to sign Anthony Rizzo. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it was a good plan to
definitely platoon, a reliable bat.
I always say that platoons never work out because, you know, you end up eventually some guy's going to get hot, some guy's going to get cold. You're going to plug in the other guy a little more. Mm-hmm. The other guy's going to get pissed. And then it creates a battle.
Of course.
One of them gets injured, which is what happened with Voit, you know.
Yeah.
And then... You end up coming to where a guy has to fight for his position back, even proves that he might deserve that position back, and then you let him go.
No. Yeah.
Which, you know, for Voit, that's going to be a big time.
I feel like this could be a breakout season.
Well,
just
they have such a failure in Will Myers that hopefully he can fill those shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, Will Myers definitely, if they don't have space for him in the outfield,
it's tough.
I honestly think Will Myers should be, if it's not Luke Voit, I think he should be the DH. Because... Mm-hmm. You know,
well, you have to have one of them.
At first base, you have Eric Hosmer. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have that great of a season last year.
No, but defensively?
Defensively, he's, you know,
no,
he's defensively.
Compared to Voit?
He's definitely more active. He's definitely more, you know, his ability to, you know, kind of close that gap between second base.
Oh, his field awareness is incredible.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have to also give him that little nuck. Little knack that he's a lefty.
Definitely.
Which is just small, but it is a big thing when it comes to first base, especially at higher levels.
Yeah.
So
and I honestly feel like the signing of Anthony Rizzo, I feel like it did good for the Yankees because right field porch is so short. You know, you have big, you know, you have okay players coming off going to the Yankees and having huge careers. I think, 100%, honestly, 100%. A hot take is I don't think Mark Teixeira would have been that good if he didn't play
for
the Yankees.
For the Yankees. I disagree. Right he was
field,
a great player. He just worked out for the system.
Right field, I feel like right field, Porch and Yankee just did so many people good justice because
Mark
Teixeira.
Also
you know,
hit a lot righty, though.
Yeah, he did, definitely. But lefty is definitely his strong suit, right?
And Curtis Granderson.
Curtis Granderson as well had a
definitely
an amazing career.
Didi
Gregorius.
Posada only hit home runs because of that short porch.
Exactly.
Derek Jeter hit 50% of his home runs over that short porch, pretty much.
And honestly, you look at Didi now. Didi Gregorius coming off the Yankees. You know,
his stroke found that alley every time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
found it. Right. I feel like the signing of Anthony Rizzo did the Yankees justice because they're going to have that advantage.
Course,
you know, having a veteran first
beneficial.
Base, a veteran hitter,
yeah.
Especially a lefty and right field porch. I just don't think it was fair to Luke Voit. So, honestly, you put Luke Voit, if not DH, at first behind Eric Hosmer. Will Myers, you could fit him into the outfield. You know, God forbid if they do move Tatis to the outfield or anything,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's going to be a strong suit there. Mm-hmm. I don't really think you need Will Myers in the field.
No, I totally
Will Myers agree. Definitely yeah. is more of a hitter than he is a fielder.
Absolutely. And mm-hmm. I think if you give him that job, I think he'll fill in a little
yeah, bit. Yeah, I think he'll fill in great because, you know, he has a – it's definitely a big role, especially the DH is now in the NL. You know, it's going to be quite a change for players that are playing the NL.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think it could be good. I'm kind of sad that they took it away because the occasional, you know, Madison Bumgarner home run, you know, Jacob DeGrom. I remember I went
that's to what we were talking about.
We were talking about Pacquiao hitting that fucking bomb at
not definitely.
Padres. It was at Padres, right?
Yeah, it was at the Padres, yeah, because I remember having to recreate that.
Yeah.
And MLB the Show.
It takes away some excitement from the game. But honestly, you know, I feel like it's definitely made the NL more competitive because growing up, it will. Yeah. Growing up, I feel like the NL, I wasn't really geared to watch NL games because, I don't know, it's just.
It seems like
it's something about watching the Cardinals and Brewers play. It just doesn't hit for me. I still like it, but the Blue Jays or the Yankees or something.
Yeah,
like
but that's
that.
Where you're from.
Yeah.
You want to do a AL team or AL division?
Yeah.
We got a couple more over there.
Let's go at it.
Central or West?
Let's go Central.
Central. All right. Mm-hmm. I like that one. Who do you pick at the top?
Central. I'm gonna have to go Twins.
Yeah. I agree.
I think the Twins got. Not that they got immensely better by signing Correa, but the fact is that they signed a 3-year deal to Correa, gave him $100 million with two options out. Mm-hmm. I feel like it suits the Twins very well. We were touching upon this last podcast episode. You give Correa 3 years, $100 million,
mm-hmm.
two opt outs in the first two seasons. Let's say Correa tanks. You can get really valuable assets for Correa. And, you know, the fact that they signed him for 3 years, I feel like they both had the understanding is I don't really see myself. If I do see myself in the Twins organization coming up from Correa's standpoint, if I do see myself in a standpoint, I really want to see where my other offers is. And that's why I feel like the two opt-outs are very good. So mm-hmm. let's say Correa has a monster year. Opts back into his contract and rides those 2 years out, or let's say he just stays that 1 year, that one extra year for the opt out, you know.
Yeah.
You really have a reliable bat and veteran experience, veteran experience to such a young core like Max Kepler. You have great bats. You have an upcoming bat that I think he's gonna make really big noise. Alex Kirilloff,
I don't even know how exactly, but that kid's a pretty good up and comer too.
Exactly. Absolutely. So you have young prospects that can make a big name for themselves, and just for them to be surrounded by, you know, a veteran like Carlos Correa, people feed off that good energy.
Yeah, right? And they're gonna get Gary Sanchez too. So the good and the bad.
Yeah.
And then you're gonna get. I mean. Well, let's see. Do you have anyone else at number one in that division?
No, I don't really.
I think it's theirs to lose.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you could give the White Sox.
Yeah, I was gonna say you have number two, chance, and I put number two probably the White Sox, and then I think it's up to Detroit to prove themselves at this point. They're really young.
Oh yeah, they need a lot of young team.
They got Javi.
And for the Guardians, I still think they haven't recovered from making such a poor decision with the trade of Lindor.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think they're geared to recover quickly. I think they're going to actually stumble a little bit.
Yeah, I think they're...
And
they're changing their name to the Guardians,
the whole culture shift, too, it's not helping them. It's actually hurting.
Nah, definitely.
And then you look at the Royals, they've really got to prove themselves. They have a lot of young kids, too. They're kind of in the same position as the Tigers, but in almost a worse position that they really need their young kids to show up because they're still waiting on Bobby Witt.
Yeah, I've been hearing
Bobby Witt's name for years now, and it's like, all right, well now it's time. You know,
he's got a very similar swing to Mike Trout.
I don't know if he's 100% ready, but it's like, well, you know what? Are you ever going to have him ready? Like,
yeah,
the kid's got to play, and also you need some fans in the stands. Yeah, you just got to get someone excited, and baseball's a big game where if you don't have good energy, especially with your crowd going, it's hard to win home games.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
and they have some good veterans. So, at first base, they have Carlos Santana.
Yeah, no.
Catcher, they have Salvador Perez. Came off a absolutely insane.
Perez had very the season best for year, that. I think probably he won the best year too. Offensively as a catcher.
I think I've he ever won seen. Batting champ, if I'm not mistaken. He was probably up there.
I don't know if he won batting champ, but he won the home run title or
something like that.
Yeah. Something like that. He went off last year.
Yeah.
I think the AL West is very.
And what about the signing of Zach Greinke?
You want to do AL West before we do do NL? Who signed? Where did Zach Greinke sign? He signed with the Royals, right?
Yeah, he went back to the Royals.
I actually like that. He had a weird career with the Royals early on. You know, that's when he, you know, the league discovered he was weird and not normal. Yeah. But I really like Zach Greinke. I like what he brings to the game.
Yeah.
He brings like a different element of not being that everyday garden variety ball player.
Yeah, definitely.
So he's kind of interesting, and him going back to the Royals, he's probably going to hang him up soon. He obviously he's tired of it. He's like, you could tell he loves the game. He's tired of the people.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been tired of the people, but you could tell it's getting exhausting on him. Mm-hmm. And he's probably, I wouldn't put it out of your mind if he just quits mid-year.
Honestly? Yeah.
I mean, straight up. Yeah. Just because,
hot take, but.
Just because, you know, at this point, I think it's time that he's not underperforming.
Yeah.
But he could be doing better if he wanted to, I think.
I think he's a reliable 2, if not 3.
Yeah.
But he, really even don't. Still. Even that, to this day, he is. That's what I mean.
Definitely.
So.
I think it's good for him if he does end his career after this season. You know, end it off with what he started.
Yeah. He had a team that he started.
I like it. No, he had a great career, and I think he'll be a Hall of Famer, maybe not first ballot, but he brought so
Zach
much
Greinke,
to the game.
Definitely.
Brought so much to the game that I can't see them not voting him in.
Yeah.
I think there was a span of
spent like 4 or 5 years where he just dominated ERA.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And there was a span in I think it was when he was, I think it was more towards the middle end of his career with the Royals. The guy went, I think, 8 straight starts without giving up a run or something.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Like
yeah,
unbelievable. So
I remember that.
Definitely, I think he's a Hall of Famer. I think it's good for him. I think it's good for baseball, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a great addition
with,
to baseball culture,
you know,
for sure.
With his he definitely cemented his career with the Royals. And going back to, if we're going to talk Absolutely. About the NL now.
Yeah, do Albert you want to bounce back to the
actually,
NL
I
Central?
Actually want to keep in the AL.
We can finish up the AL real quick. I think Albert Pujols is a good one to finish up with, though.
AL
so
West.
We got the West. This is a...
I think it's very open.
This is one that's
I don't see a team standing out.
Yeah, the only one I like is the Astros, and it's only because of their organizational
game. Yeah. But, like...
Yeah, that.
I don't think the Astros have number one.
I was
going to
say,
like
the
solid.
1 through 5 is pretty much a shuffleboard.
Like, I think the Marlins,
Marlins
could go to first.
The Mariners. Yeah, they have a lot of talent. You got to look at Kelenic. They got a pitching staff that's pretty strong at this point.
Even the Angels go first.
Yeah,
the
I mean, well,
first.
The Angels are that team that needs to put it together.
Yeah.
The Angels
Mike
are
Trout needs
that,
to have a full season with them.
A full season and a good season.
Yeah.
Like he needs to have a really good year.
Like they're missing
and,
him a lot.
But they also need their prospects to come up and help him out too. Like
yeah.
He can't be the only bat in the lineup. It can't be just him and Shohei. It can't be that because Shohei proved himself to be a bat last year, a real bat. It wasn't just a plug him in as a DH and a pitcher. No, this guy's a bat.
Yeah.
He's a useful
definitely.
Bat. So now you have Trout, him, Rendon. Who do you piece around that? Is Rendon going to stay healthy? Is Trout going to stay healthy? Can they stay on the field together? Can they build chemistry? That's a big thing. And then they need chemistry from the top. You know? Their coaching staff's always been an issue.
Yeah.
Relating to the players. Like, look at Skaggs. Like, what happened with Skaggs should never happen in an organization.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? Uh-huh. So you're still recovering from that.
Yeah.
I think it's open definitely for... I don't know how open it is for the Rangers, but I think the Rangers can at least pick up.
I think the Rangers can do it.
I think the Rangers can at least pick up a few spots because they finished last year.
Yeah.
And I think I don't see them.
I don't see the Athletics doing much either.
I don't see the Athletics picking up a lot. They're probably going to tumble. That's the only team I really don't see in the playoff picture.
Yeah.
But,
I mean.
But the other four, man, and like the Mariners are one that excite me.
Oh, yeah.
The Mariners are one that have
I think Mariners. I think Mariners and the Rangers are the teams to watch for me. Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the team to beat is the Astros.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
I just think...
The big thing is, can those three teams get enough wins against the Astros to knock the record down?
Nah, yeah. I definitely get you there. I feel like, the you know, like you said, with Dusty Baker being the
mm-hmm.
coach, playoff experience... And really solid hitters like Yuli Gurriel. You know, mm-hmm. you have, I don't, honestly, No, I don't think he's on the Astros anymore. Marwin, I don't think he's on the Astros anymore.
I'm not sure.
You know, Jose Altuve. You know, you still have
seasoned veterans, and you got Kyle Tucker.
Exactly,
who's a stud.
Yeah,
Kyle Tucker really made a name for himself, especially last year.
Stud,
yeah, solid hitter. You know,
he's a good.
And
yeah.
To have that in such a competitive, but you know, kind of I don't want to say low tier kind of division. You know, because you know teams like the Mariners or Rangers. You know, they have really good pieces with J.P. Crawford, Jared Kelenic, and stuff like that. But, you know, this season is definitely a season to watch, definitely with that division.
I agree.
Absolutely.
It's going to be up and down. Like you said, it's going to be a shuffleboard. Feel like the Astros could definitely start off hot because, you know, we know what the Astros are definitely capable of. But honestly, you think – you have the Rangers coming off, you know, signing Corey Seager. They also have Marcus Semien as well.
Went to the Rangers.
Exactly.
Nah, you got a lot of bats over in the Rangers.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I got a call back to the AL East. What do you guys think Gallo is going to do this year?
Joey Gallo?
Yeah.
Lefty, Yankee Stadium.
But do you think he's able to just find it a little bit? Because he doesn't need to hit him as hard as he normally does, man. He just needs to find the bat. To the ball a little bit.
I honestly think Joey Gallo was really shooing for no shifts.
Yeah.
Shift change or the shift policy.
Yeah.
You know, that didn't really work out. I honestly, what's your take on the shift?
I think a shift is a good conversation to have.
Since we're talking about Joey Gallo.
Yeah. I'll gladly wrap up the NL in a minute here. I think the shift is a big thing for baseball because you need to be able to shift. You need to be able to move around your players. That being said, having your right side of your field stocked up with 8 players.
Yeah.
I've seen it before.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like it's mind-blowing that...
Yeah.
But it works is the crazy thing. It's all a mind game. So, I don't know. Because I genuinely don't know how I feel about it. Because as you step into the plate as a hitter, it's a mind fuck. You're
definitely.
You don't know what to think. You want to hit the ball over there.
Exactly.
You want to. Everything about you or bunt or do whatever, and you just something about it.
But those variables change when you have, you know, a pitcher, you know.
Throwing 105 at your head and curveballs and sliders and sinkers.
Definitely.
Right. So, I would be semi for a rule where it's like, all right, you can shift as much as you want, but there has to be 2 infielders on each side. You can't. So, say, like, your shortstop shifted over. You can only have him on the left side of the second base.
Okay.
Even if he's as close to that line as possible, right? I'd be kind of for that rule, but otherwise, like, banning shifting is wrong.
I honestly think the policy that I would, you know, enact into to help Joey Gallo, because, you know, there's other players like Rafael Devers that suffer from it as well.
Well, there's a ton, yeah. Look at a lot
of Mark Teixeira suffered it. You know, there's a whole bunch of players that suffer from it. And, you know, it sucks as a hitter. But one thing I will say is the policy that I would enact is just like in basketball, you only get one challenge. Maybe one or two challenges if it's successful. You know, they grant you another one, whatever. But I honestly feel like limiting the amount of shifts you do on a player, because I really don't think it's fair that Joey Gallo gets a shift every time he comes up to the bat. But then again, you have the argument with, look at Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman's a notorious lefty hitter.
I was going to say, so then you just really, and you get the argument from this is really an argument from like old-time baseball people, but it's like, it's a valid argument, be a better hitter.
Exactly. That's what it comes down to.
Like Ted Williams.
Exactly.
You couldn't shift. They shifted Ted Williams, and he still batted 300.
Like
he got
Robinson
pissed off
Cano.
At the shift. If you don't know this, there's stories. You can go back and read articles of Ted Williams literally just posting his complaints into a newspaper about the shift, and he's still batting 330.
No, it's frustrating as a hitter because you know
what Robinson Cano did against the shift. Mm-hmm. He bunted.
You just bunted. And it
bunted.
But it
third baseline.
Even that, like, even if Joey was able to lay a few bunts down, and it would promote the teams not to shift against him. The thing is, like, he's done it once. He's done it twice. But he's not willing to do it every time he comes up.
Yeah, because you want that big bat from Joey.
But if
that's,
he just
that's your responsibility.
Because they're not going to pull that shift with Met on. If he just
definitely not.
Had the satisfaction in his mind, I will get on base. Every time they shift on me, I'm just going to bunt it over there.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be a thing. The thing is, like, that's when you go back to the old-time baseball, just be a better hitter.
Mm-hmm.
A better hitter would just lay the bunt.
Oh,
you
yeah.
don't even have to be fast. You literally, all you do, if and you know, I may sound a little dicky right now, but I played baseball, a lot of it. I played into college. So if you were getting shifted on every time, you know what you do? Go in the cage and just work. Bunt.
Bunt.
Bunt. Bunt. I'm not swinging today, coach. Bunt. My swing's already good. Bunt.
Exactly.
Bunt. I can hit the homers. That's not the problem. Bunt. 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 So that when they shift, you know, oh, training, third base, single. And then, oh, look, they're shifting it, single.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm 2 for 2 today. They stop shifting. Home run.
Exactly.
And then you're in their head.
Exactly.
And then it becomes, so that's why, like,
it's a mind game.
That's why I don't really support the rule change. But like I said, the only rule change I would support is limiting what the shift could be. Because I think it's ridiculous. Like I said, like 8 fielders on one side.
The fact is that the center fielder is almost in right field. I think there was one shift play. It was on Joey Gallo last year. I think the second baseman was well on his way to, I mean, the shortstop or third baseman was well on his way.
Well, this is
to second.
This
base.
Is the shift that I think I'm talking about. So the only player on the left side of the on the left side of the field in general was the left fielder, and he was shaded to left center. Mm-hmm. You have the center fielder and right fielder all the way down the line and right. Then you have first baseman, second baseman, third baseman on the right side of the infield.
Yeah,
and the shortstop is behind second base. So the only person even left of second base in the entire field was the left fielder.
Yeah,
exactly.
So that may have been what you're thinking about, or at least close to it. And it's like, that's what I mean. Like that is like, that seems drastic.
Yeah, I think they definitely, that's a great policy, actually. You have, you know, you limit how many people could be on one side of the field. I think 2 people on one side, at least.
And that's just,
I think that's
infield.
A great policy.
That's just the infield.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, because the outfield is like, well, all right, well, if you want to put 3 outfielders all the way in right, I mean, I guess you're going to catch every fly ball in right,
yeah,
but
definitely.
What about the other 50% of fly balls that are going to flip? Like, at that point, it'd be...
Nah, yeah, definitely. I hear Joey Gallo's frustration, because I am a lefty myself. I've had shifts played on me.
Okay.
And it's very, very frustrating.
My brother's a lefty, so...
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, it's frustrating as a lefty just to have shifts on you, because they know... Literally, all you need is a fastball inside. It's pretty hard. It's pretty hard
to
get out in front on a fastball coming 95 miles per hour, 96, 97, to get out in front of that and rip it up the middle. Yeah. And that's why Freddie Freeman is such a great hitter. Because
left field.
Yeah.
He doesn't even care about it.
Exactly.
He'll hit that inside pitch
to
left field.
It's either middle. If you see his spray sheet, it's either mostly middle or left field. And
exactly. Remember him
it's crazy.
In the home run derby?
Yeah.
Was it 2 years ago? 3 years ago, when I think they literally were just like, well, he's the most boring home run hitter ever because he only hit like 5 and they were all to left field, and I think he pulled 1 ball, but it was foul.
Yeah, because he's
you know,
he surrounds his game to his advantages, and that advantage of having that also could be an advantage of having of being a lefty hitter for, you know, the first half of the season. You could make a pretty good standpoint even for having over 300 batting average, you can make a really good standpoint. You know, them having that shift on you, you know, they're going to pick up. But at the end of the day, for Joey Gallo to be so notorious for pulling the ball, you know, I really think if you add players 1 through 4 or maybe 1 through 3 as strong hitters that you know can get on base, you know, they're not going to put that shift on you. Because
that's
the
bigger thing, if you can get players on base.
Exactly, that's another variable.
Matter.
They're not going to put a shift on Joey Gallo if there's a man on second and third.
No, it's impossible.
You know what I'm saying? So
they'd be putting themselves at too much risk.
Exactly, they're going to put infield in, or you know, they're going to try to walk Joey Gallo, try to turn a double play. There's a whole bunch of variables when it comes to the game. But honestly, I think the best thing for the Yankees is to strengthen that 1 through 4. Maybe have Joey Gallo sit towards the bottom of the lineup.
He still hits lefties. It's the thing is, he hits at such a low rate of contact.
Yeah.
It's from both sides. He just swings so hard and so violently that he doesn't go for contact.
I think he's honestly, you know, I would compare his game to Adam Dunn. Adam Dunn is another strike.
If it wasn't a strikeout,
it was a 450-foot bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly, if it wasn't a home run or a strikeout, it was a walk.
And that's a big
thing
for
Gallo's
game.
Like
he improved that last year. He improved his walk ability last year big time, and he was on base a lot.
Nah, definitely.
Now, if he can transfer that into a bunt game, he would literally be a 250 minimum hitter, 240, 250 hitter. And
that would be big for the Yankees.
But that would be huge for the Yankees, but can he do that? And, you know. That's just all that is.
Those are nice.
I know nobody can see it, but the Nationals just announced their city jerseys.
Oh, it looks good.
And they're called the DC Cherry Blossoms.
I like it.
A little bit of pink on there.
A little bit of pink.
All right.
Real men wear pink, eh?
I kind of like it.
That's what the jersey
is. So we finish up with the NL Central, huh?
Definitely.
Got a fun story, even though it's not going to affect the outcome of the...
So you got the Cubs, Brewers, Reds, Cardinals, Pirates. Pirates are in last.
I want to hear your take, Danny.
Well,
I feel like me and Salvin going back and forth.
What I
think... Yeah, I want to hear your take first. Who you got? Who you got?
I got Brewers coming first. I think Cardinals going to go second.
Okay.
I think Reds are third, Cubs fourth, Pirates fifth. I don't really see the Cubs making a run at. They definitely like blew up their team with the three stars they had. Yeah,
I mean they definitely had to. You know.
Well, yeah, they had to.
I don't think they were really, you know, inclined on, you know, signing Javi Baez back, Anthony Rizzo, and Kyle Schwarber. I feel like to break that curse and win that championship for them, that was it. I feel like giving, you know, those three players the opportunity to get traded wherever they wanted to. I feel like it was a plus. Plus, you know, I feel like they got some really good assets from it. They got some really good assets from the Yankees.
They definitely picked up some. Yeah, that was a big trade.
And honestly, the acquisition of Clint Frazier. I feel like Clint Frazier.
Where did he go again? Where did he go again?
He went to the Cubs. I feel like
he went to the Cubs.
I feel like he really needed a fresh start. Especially since
thing with him is he needed to play.
Yeah,
and
no,
so
yeah,
much competition. He was getting frustrated and not playing, and then getting hurt when he finally did get minor opportunities.
Yeah,
and you know, I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan of him, but that's just his personality. You know, the player, I always saw a great bat. The field was always another question.
Yeah,
but also I think you don't get better in the field if you don't get game time. You know, game time. If you're not playing left field in the game, it's different than left field in practice, right? So he can get as good as he wants at catching balls, shagging flies in practice and stuff. But when you're in a game, that adrenaline's going, and then you fumble the ball, which is, you know, I watched him, it happened 3 or 4 times. You know, it was as simple as him picking up a ground ball and he just muffed it because he was thinking about the throw before he would, you know. Yeah. And as a baseball player, you look and you know exactly what's going through his mind. He's thinking about the throw before he catches the ball. And same thing would happen on a line drive where it was not a hard one, but maybe a knuckler, maybe a sinking line drive. And, you know, you have to go on your knees and dick down and catch it and, you know, into almost a catcher's pose. And he just muffed it. He just squeezed the glove too early. And it's like, that's just like.
Yeah, I feel like.
You know, that's not even making errors per se.
Yeah.
That's like mental stuff.
Yeah. But I feel like, you know, probably playing. He had ample opportunities to, you know, make a name for himself on the Yankees. I just feel like. Even when the Yankees did give him the opportunity to play, I feel like it's kind of like in the brain of a backup outfielder,
him dog shit time.
You gave him dog shit time. He doesn't really see himself. He's not really confident. The fact is that he can take over Aaron Judge's job. He can take over, you know, veteran Brett Gardner at the time.
I think he touched on this in the basketball thing when he was talking about Spoelstra. How you involve every player.
Oh,
right? So
yeah,
I kind of picked up on that.
You give them the confidence to play.
No, but so it gives you the confidence that you can. So why, you know, and this is a big issue with having a DH, so you're not forced to use your backups.
Yeah.
But if you're in a situation where you're forced to use your backups and all of a sudden, well, yeah, Clint's getting game time in you know, game one of the season just because my pitcher's getting subbed out and he's my number one bat off the bench. Yeah, he'll go get a rep in the field or two, but at least he knows in his head, I'm bad off the bench.
Yeah.
Or he has a role. With the Yankees, he never had a role, man. He never even had a possibility of being the DH. He never even had a possibility of being left field because as soon as it got close, Giancarlo was on the team.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was like, well, fuck. You just signed an ex-MVP who hits 40-plus homers a year. I feel for him in that
way.
That's
pretty hard to combat, especially. Yeah. And I feel like coming off the farm system in the Yankees and really him making a name for himself. And then, you know, I don't follow the Yankees. I'm a Red Sox fan. But for me to know about him, especially him making that much noise in the farm system, you know, you really come with a bigger ego than what you're supposed to. And
originally, he was a big piece in that trade with Cleveland.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially, and for him to make that much noise in that farm system, you know, you really come in, oh, they're calling me up. They need me here. They want to play me. They want to do this. But, you know, like you said, coming off an ex-MVP, 30 homers a season – you know, it's really hard to put your confidence or put your pride aside and really accept that role of being, you know,
absolutely,
a bench bat. And I really think this is good for him to have a fresh start and stuff like
I
that.
Totally
and
agree.
He even tweeted, let me read it right here. Said, me being happy I'm on the Cubs has nothing to do with the Yankee fans. It has to do with the fact that I'm happy to be able to play somewhere. I'll get a better chance at playing. And
exactly.
He adds a laughing emoji. And,
but that's exactly how, and, you know, he's very vocal. He's going to, but, I mean, that's the type of guy he
definitely
is.
Definitely. I feel
and
like.
That's the type of guy that the Yankees were kind of afraid of, I think.
Nah, yeah, especially. And I feel like the fact that, you know, they traded him for Anthony Rizzo, and they didn't really trade for it. The Yankees didn't really give up much for Anthony Rizzo because, you know, he's coming off a one-year deal or one year left on his contract. That's why they re-signed him. But
yeah.
I really feel like that built confidence for Clint Frazier that he knows he's going somewhere where they actually need him and they're going to utilize him to, you know, his fullest extent because he is a great hitter. He is a great hitter. And he's a great fielder as well. You know, shit happens. Shit happens, but I really feel like this is good for Clint Frazier.
So we were going to talk about football.
We didn't get to talk about Pujols, though.
I won't get back to him, but I just saw this right now. We were going to talk about football today, but this just popped up. Here we go from, I don't know this guy's Twitter, Ari Murrow, whatever. I'm sorry if I pronounced wrong. Here we go. NFL owners have passed a proposal to change overtime rules to guarantee at least one possession for both teams.
I think that's fair.
Interesting.
That's fair.
I think it's fair.
Guaranteed.
I wanted that to change.
Fair. Okay,
I think,
so that's just the college rule.
I think Josh Allen.
So basically, because they had this controversy with the Chiefs and
the
Bills game.
Where they went and scored a touchdown
Bills,
and the game ended.
They were going back and forth in that fourth
quarter.
They
were going back and forth the whole game.
Oh, I watched it. No, I know.
So
it was a great game to watch.
They go into overtime.
Yeah.
Chiefs win the ball. Well, I don't know why Josh Allen fucking calls tails, but that's besides the point. He always fucking pick heads. But so it happened. Chiefs got ball. Chiefs drove right down the field. Scored. Game over.
Right away.
Josh Allen never got to see that field again.
Yeah. So that's just classic football rule. Do you really want to keep it or not?
3-4 plays too, which sucks. It sucks that your season
sucks
can end
way
on
it
3-4 plays.
It sucks
only,
the way it happened, but it could have happened on the return.
It's
too.
Only for the postseason though.
But okay.
So it's not
so
the it's not regular season.
I just feel like that makes the game more competitive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like
you go back and forth each time.
Yeah,
you could have a game that goes on
but
for
there's
like,
a reason you call it overtime. So the game is supposed to be over. Right. So overtime in football, what it was first to score.
Yeah.
Then it became, well, we kind of feel bad because now even if you kick a field goal, so they changed that to a touchdown.
Well, not even that. If you score a field goal,
the person
who gets the ball first, whoever scores a field goal, say Chiefs got ball first, they kick a field goal.
Yes.
Now Bills have a chance to score.
No, but I'm saying it used to be.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying it used to be.
The policy used to be field goal.
It used to be field goal wins the game.
Yeah.
And then it transformed into what it is now, which is you get a field goal. As long as you're the first team to touch the ball, you get a field goal. They have a chance to get a field goal.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But as long as you forfeit that opportunity to score, that field goal still wins the game.
Yeah.
Why are you once again moving the goalposts is like a good phrase for this because it's football, but why are you moving the goalposts again to say, oh, well, it's not fair to them? So my argument here is this argument that you have was already made for field goals.
Yeah.
So now, because this shitty situation happened in this situation with the Bills, now they're going to make a new rule change so that everybody gets a chance.
Definitely.
And that's not what overtime was.
I agree with that.
That's kind of my only problem because
– like.
You're no longer, because like regular time is supposed to be regular time. The game is supposed to be over. So there was a different rule set. And now it's like the rule set just kind of matches almost like the real game, like which isn't necessarily a problem. This is kind of how it happens in soccer, right? Like if you get extra time, even if you score, the allotted time
is
given. I'm not necessarily opposed to it, but my argument is like, well, what the hell is the point of making the rule in the first place? Like, what was the point of overtime?
Well, in soccer
overtime,
you have two halves of overtime. You don't just have one.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So, say one team scores, you still have another half to score.
No, I get that aspect.
Yeah.
But I'm more so just saying, like, the extra time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it also happens at the end of both halves. Yeah. So it's different.
I think with soccer, it's different.
It's totally different. It's based off of penalties. It's based off of how much time is taken.
I know that, but I'm saying
if you apply that thinking, you can maybe, you know, make a justification.
But like, you see how like soccer, if that happens, you're overtime, you're tied through both. Now you have penalties.
Yep.
That's exciting to watch because you don't know what's going
to
happen.
It's really exciting to watch.
In football,
yeah,
team gets first possession.
Isn't that exciting to watch, though?
Not really. I know it's going to end if it's a better team.
No, I mean for it in general. But I'm saying, how are you the better team at the end of regulation? Like, you're tied. So it doesn't really matter. It just puts more pressure on that first drive,
which
I think is fun. Yeah. That is fun.
Say it's not fun when it ends like that.
Maybe.
Say you got the Chiefs and Jets playing.
Uh-huh.
Chiefs get the ball first possession. Who's scoring?
Why are they in overtime? God knows. I'm just saying it out there.
So
it doesn't fucking matter. So if coin flip happens the other way, Josh Allen fucks up his drive and Mahomes ends up taking it home anyway.
I'm fine with that. At least they both got possession.
I know you're fine with that, but why? Because they both got a possession. It's all based on luck, though. Call it like you said. Why'd you call heads?
No, I don't know. Like, I don't know why the fuck they call tails. That's what I'm saying.
So if it comes down to that, if he just fucking said the word heads, maybe he won that game. Or maybe he didn't. You never know.
A lot of people think like football games are staged.
So you can make an argument for it or not, but that's such bullshit and this is my opinion on this. I don't think any fucking professional sports are staged. They might want to put out the idea just to alert more people. But no, how could they be? You're watching competitive men try to out-compete other competitive men, and you're telling me it's staged?
It takes me back to this season where it just passed. The Jets were fucking crushing the Buccaneers. All of a sudden, the Buccaneers
Touchdown. You can see instances where the referees helped. You can see instances. So I'm not saying it doesn't happen.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of variables.
Antonio
Brown left that game.
But the actual, if you look at the timeline of a game, you can see the momentum shift.
Yeah.
You could see this. And it's like, well, yeah, you can make an argument for this, this, and that. And they had 7 extra penalties that were all bullshit.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, other grown men outcompeted other grown men.
It's not like a staged event. I 100% agree with you there. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the NFL is a business. And for the fans to speak up and say, they feel like both teams should get a chance, I really feel like that decision is more
and
geared
that's fair.
To the viewership.
And that's fair. I'm just making the argument.
Yeah, 100%. 100% I get you. It's competitiveness. If the Chiefs go down the field in fucking 3 to 5 plays, that says more about your defense than that says about their offense.
I hope you also know I'm totally devil's advocating right now. Because at this point, it's sold.
I get you. 100%.
At this point, the field goal thing wasn't going to be stopped because it's already a rule.
Yeah.
So at that point, why don't you just make it touchdowns? Right? Like, why didn't they make the original rule change when they switched over? Why didn't they just say, hey, no, both teams get a chance?
Yeah.
Because that would have been a better rule, I think.
Yeah. At the time, I feel like it would have been a better rule, but for...
Well, not even at the time, just for longevity, because then you don't have to change it again. You don't have to make...
Yeah,
rules.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
It's for the Bills and Chiefs to really come into fruition. I want to call back to where you just say it's a business, though. You think they don't see this opportunity to have multiple rule changes, to do this in the off season to garner some media for the NFL
when it's dead
season? That's what it is, you know? It's just they need rule changes. To act like the game's going to stay as it was 10 years ago, 20, 30 years ago,
is
impossible.
And how exciting this off season was with all the trades and stuff like that.
Adding
to that policy and stuff like that. Because, honestly, as a competitive man, like you said, as a competitive man coming from myself, you know, playing sports and stuff like that, probably all three of us, because we played sports, you know, I never played football, you know, competitively. So I played sports that really gave you a chance.
Football is a tough one.
Yeah, exactly.
I played a lot of football, and it was, I got to be honest, not a fun one for me.
Growing up playing baseball, you know, one team gets the top of the inning, the other one gets the bottom of the inning. You know what I'm saying? So coming into the ninth inning, you know, you have that one chance to really make a name or, you know, blow shit up, you know.
Yeah.
Score runs, rally, stuff like that. tie game, the other team has a chance to do it always. As well. So it's coming from that perspective of me playing baseball, I really feel like it's going to be a fun thing to watch, and especially in the postseason where the viewership is already outrageous outside of the numbers, because playoff football is crazy.
Yeah.
So you really enact that rule. I really feel like it's going to make the game a lot more fun, and I really wanted to see Josh Allen get a drive in there. Mm-hmm. Like,
I think everybody did.
Yeah.
I think everybody did.
I really feel like it wasn't
especially
fair.
Especially because the game, like you said, was leading up. That whole fourth quarter was back and forth, slinging.
Exactly. And then for the fucking Chiefs to lose to the Bengals on a last-second field goal and thing. You know, it sucks because I really feel like the Bills were a better team than both of those teams.
Yeah, I
really
feel like the Bills could have made a big Super Bowl. I think they would have went to Super Bowl.
I feel like they would have beat the Rams in the Super Bowl. Yeah. I feel like the Bills were the strongest team.
Yep.
So, I'm pretty excited to see if that policy comes into fruition.
I think it's a good rule.
It's still being talked about?
No, they approved it.
Yeah, approved it?
It's a good rule change. I'm looking at the field goal rule just as a flawed rule. I think that they should have just done this from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know?
Now I get you to, you know, prevent this mishap from happening.
Yeah, no, because it's just like, it would have not existed.
And it would have been, it was definitely talked about before this as
well. Oh, it was. No, it was a policy
suggestion. Tom Brady, those... If he ever did go into overtime in the postseason or in the playoffs, you know, Tom Brady was making those last pushes, and everyone knew, you give Tom Brady more than a minute, you give Tom Brady 30 seconds,
it's over
for you.
Yep.
So I'm excited really excited to see how that happens.
Excited to see his old ass get back on the field.
Hell yeah!
Let's go back to baseball. Our pool signing
Finish
with the. St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, I don't
Come
think
back
it's
for his last season.
I don't think it's consequential per se, but he could be a big mentor for those guys. I think
that's why I take it as.
I think the Cardinals got a big opportunity because they're one of those storied franchises like the Yankees.
Yeah.
And they have a big opportunity with him being one of those older guys who I hope they turn into like a player manager type of thing.
Yeah.
And just really get him to teach the younger guys. You know, Dylan Carlson there, he's got a lot of potential, that
Definitely.
Kid there. And you also want that pitcher Flaherty.
Yeah,
you want him to develop around strong competitors who've been around the game for a while, and they don't have too many of those. So I think that signing Pujols is more of a benefit by way of.
I feel
like
it's good karma. Definitely, I feel like it's good karma for that team, because I honestly feel the Cardinals had just as much as an opportunity as the Giants last year. To really make a push for the playoffs.
Oh, I totally agree.
You know, you have players like Paul DeJong. You have, like you said,
Paul Goldschmidt.
They just added right now.
Arenado.
They still got Arenado. It's a big ball.
Yeah, they have Arenado. Harrison Bader is he's a very good young player coming out.
They still got Dexter Fowler.
I think Fowler's been out for a little bit. Yeah, because I like Dexter.
He was one of the guys
I like to watch.
He's on the team no more?
I don't think he's on the team. He doesn't.
I don't think he's even playing no more.
Corey Dickerson is a good lefty bat. They have really great pieces. I really feel like the Cardinals have been surprising me. I'd say this in my opinion for years. I really didn't see the Cardinals really making a name for themselves, but just like the Rays, I feel like they're just a well-built team with such great management. Mm-hmm. They could do big things. He's a free agent.
Yeah, I thought he retired, so.
Yeah, he's a free agent.
Yeah.
I mean, he's well in his years. What is he?
Yeah, he's got to be 34, 35
now. Yeah, definitely mid-30s. But I really feel like the Cardinals signing Pujols is really good karma for
benefit.
The team.
I think it's a big benefit. I think it'll help because you got a –
And you got pools that will give you 20 home runs a year.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, because you got a lot of those veterans are real veterans, but they lack playoff experience.
Yeah.
You know, and it'd be really nice to have that guy who stroked that homer that won games.
The
guy who's been there before. Because, like, you know, it's irreplaceable to have that experience.
Definitely.
You know?
100%.
Danny boy, what do we got?
Going to basketball now.
Yeah?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Let's start with...
My
the top four seeds in the NBA East. Now, those consist of one game back for all of them.
The Heat. The Heat are number one.
It's the Heat. Oh, shit. It's the Heat, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Chicago. Oh, wait, no. It's Boston, Milwaukee, Philly, and Miami.
Yeah.
They're all basically are tied. Miami has a record of 48-28. Philly has 46-28. Milwaukee has 46-28. And the Boston Celtics at 47-29. But the Bostons did go to first yet tonight.
Yeah, they with the win over the Timberwolves, mm-hmm. and the Heat. The 76ers losing to the Suns. We gained that first place spot. And, you know, it was good for a good 24 hours.
Yeah, it was good for 24
the
hours.
The Celtics had back to back games.
Yeah.
Right. And honestly, you know, I am a Celtics fan, so I'm going to be biased here. The loss of Robert Williams is going to be really detrimental to the Celtics.
I need you guys to help me out, though. So I literally didn't realize the Heat were good until like 2 weeks ago when you started your podcast.
When I started telling you.
So I stopped like paying attention to the Heat after like the whole big three thing completely broke down, because I was like, you guys are bums. Like, you guys couldn't hold that together. You know, what's the whole point of you even building that?
Yeah.
But I look back on the standings and I see the Heat are like on the top, and I'm like,
yeah.
Who do they even have at this point? Is Jimmy Butler
there?
Yeah, so I saw Butler got traded in there. Signed in there. What happened to him? That was last year?
Jimmy Butler got traded from the 76ers. Was it the 76ers or the Bulls? No, I think he went from the Bulls
to the 76ers. And 76ers to the Heat.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, no, missed team.
No.
Timberwolves
was before... Timberwolves.
I think he went to Chicago,
Timberwolves,
then 76ers. Philly, 76ers. Then Miami.
Yeah, okay.
So he had quite a track.
Yeah.
Huh?
So Jimmy Butler definitely adds, you know,
leadership
to that team.
Well, he's an impressive scorer.
No,
I mean,
definitely.
Every time I watch him, I mean, I'm not a huge basketball fan, but like I always like if a game's on, I'll tune in.
Yeah, definitely.
Like I just, you know, there's times you just see him pick up a game.
Well, they got Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, Kyle Lowry.
Yeah,
Victor Oladipo,
Bam Adebayo,
Duncan Robinson, PJ Tucker, Caleb Martin, Vincent.
Who's their big
Markieff
boys?
Morris,
I honestly think
Dwayne Dedman.
Yeah, Dwayne Dedman and Bam Adebayo are their two big men.
Yeah, those are two.
Bam
big
Adebayo.
Yeah, see, like I literally don't even know those names.
Yeah,
yeah. So let me just fill you in right here. The Heat have been, you know, the team to watch for I think this season, just because the defensive end of their team is wild.
That creates championship caliber.
Yeah, definitely. Defense wins championships. Yeah. And honestly, the addition of Kyle Lowry is, you know, he's going to go out there and get you at least try to at least three charges a game.
100%.
You know what I'm saying?
He took a charge in the fucking All-Star game.
Yeah, he took a charge in all... That's just the player he is. He's a competitive player. He gets people's heads, just like Pat Beverly and Marcus Smart.
Literally, it's a play-around game. He takes a charge and gets a call for him.
Yeah,
I said, bro, what the fuck?
Who'd he take it from?
I think he took from Giannis.
Oh, yeah?
I think he took a shot from Giannis.
That takes balls.
That
takes balls.
Yeah, you're standing in the way.
I wouldn't do that.
But yeah, like just for the Heat to be number one, it's pretty impeccable. Just with the leadership they get from Jimmy Butler, and also they have leadership from Udonis Haslem. You know,
okay,
he's 40. He hasn't been an active. I don't consider him an active player. I don't think he gets minutes at all.
Yeah,
he's That's more cool of a player though. Coach.
Yeah, definitely,
I'm all into player coaches. I really don't know why that fell out of common use. After the '90s.
Definitely,
it was like, why wouldn't you want someone who just came out of the game to be that voice, to be that reason to the younger kids? You know,
exactly.
Like,
yeah,
like
he's,
yeah, no,
he's
I'm not
41
playing,
years
but...
old, and he's been playing with the Heat since
2003. Yeah, he got drafted there.
Yeah, I was gonna say Haslem. Like, that's a name that I've heard for so long. I was actually like shocked when you said
D,
it.
When D Wade was there, Shaq
D Wade was there,
team,
Shaq,
team
LeBron even came there.
No,
he was
that's
still
when
there.
I felt, that's when I actually like started to like basketball for a bit when Shaq was there. LeBron wasn't there yet, and I literally go down the boardwalk and I win a Shaq ball.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's why I like the Heat.
But the top going back to the top
four
discussion
is close.
It's been close
like
all year.
In the same like range of wins.
Yeah,
though.
Like say Miami loses. Boston wins, they go first.
Yeah. And you have how many more games in the reg?
Six now.
Six more games?
I think six more games.
That's a lot of movement that can happen.
I honestly think And you know,
season ends April 3rd.
Give me your take on this, Danny. Huh. Honestly think whoever ends up first or second, honestly, I think more towards second and first has the bigger chance of facing the Nets in the first round. So don't get me wrong, the Nets are 8th seed right now. I think the Cavs are 7th seed, and
you consider Kyrie coming back full time. It's a team you don't want to play first round.
Let's the Raptors, yeah, the Raptors are 6th. So basically how the play-in tournament works, I don't know if you know it. The 8th through 10 team. 7 through 10 team. 7 and 8 play together. Basically they play for the 7th seed.
Okay.
Yeah.
7 right? and 8.
9 and 10 play for the 8th seed. The loser of both of those games, I think they play for the 8th seed. Am I wrong? Or there's 10 teams? Are there 10 teams in the thing? Because I know.
Well, this is all the rule changes loser, that I didn't realize.
Yeah, I think the play-in tournament is stupid.
Yeah, well, I think it is too.
It sounds ridiculous, but you know what it is. It's just more money. It's definitely. More games. It's all.
Definitely. So the loser.
7 through 10.
7 through all right,
10. So 7 and 8 would play
for the 7th seed.
For 7. The loser. Whoever loses
that plays the 9.
No, there's a
depend because Charlotte and Hawks would play. Say Charlotte wins, they would get
the 8th seed.
The 8th seed.
So I think it's just loser.
I'm gonna look it up.
But anyways, right?
That's so confusing. So if the
Nets,
reason, man.
let's say, I think the Nets are gonna beat whatever fucking team comes in their way in the play-in tournament. Okay. So they face the Hornets. They face the Raptors. You know, I think they're beating even without Kyrie because Kyrie can't play in Canada. So
no, that's the genuine rule.
Yeah. Right, so here we go. The number 7 seed will face the number 8 seed in each conference. Yep. The winner of that game becomes whatever number.
The 7 seed.
Yeah. The number 9 seed faces the number 10 seed in each conference. The loser of 7 and 8 game then plays the winner of the 9 and 10 game for the number 8
that
seed.
That makes sense.
Okay. That's how it works.
That makes sense. And then you have 8 teams from each conference.
Yeah. I honestly think...
That's not that bad.
But you could lose. But you could lose, right? Let's say the Nets lose.
Yeah.
Right? And the Nets lose to the Raptors or the Cavs, whoever's the 7th seed. And then they end up winning. The loser conference to get that 8th seed. I really don't think it's fair to those bottom tier teams to even give them a chance when they're
most likely going to get their.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. I only feel like that's kind of an option this season because the Nets shouldn't be in 8th place. You get me? It should be bottom, like, you know, bottom tier teams. Like
even
the
if
Hawks.
You are a team in,
yeah, exactly.
You don't have to win your first game.
Yeah,
you just go to your second game, get the 8th seed.
Yeah. Exactly. But like, then again, you get the A seed, you're facing the number 1 seed.
Yeah, and if you're playing in one of those lower seeds, you're forced to win 2 games in a row.
Like exactly. The Cavaliers are 7. They're going first Brooklyn probably.
Yeah.
Cavaliers don't have to win that game. They can verse fucking
just
the,
go,
they can
just
Charlotte.
Play Charlotte.
And they
just,
get they
just
in
to
playoffs.
Get just to get into the playoffs. So yeah. Going That's back to the so 1 through wild. 4 conversation. I really feel like whoever ends up in the 2nd seed is the first knockout. The Nets, I feel like, are going to get the 7th seed. 7th face 2, 1 face 8, 3 faces 6, and 4 and 5.
Yeah.
For my Celtics, I want us to go first seed.
Mm.
First seed faces 8th, right? We're probably going to face the Cavs or
you
the
can
Hornets
end up with Brooklyn,
Hawks.
Though. They lose with Kyrie, and they head in.
See, that's the thing.
So then you end up with a stickier situation.
If the Nets win... Let's say they get the 7th seed. They face and they win the 2-7. And let's say they beat the 2nd seed. They go on to face the 4-5.
Yep.
And then after that, the 4-5, whatever, whoever wins that goes on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. So if we can make the 1st seed, we would face, I'd say, let's say we face the Raptors first thing. Our next, I would rather have a better chance at winning, at playing the 76ers or the Bucks or the Heat, then I would want to face the Nets because the Nets are just having Kyrie back full time, they're a force to reckon with. So
100%.
If whoever gets the first seed this season, because the Nets are staying 8th seed, And they have the best chance of winning the seventh seed and bumping up. I honestly feel like has the best odds to going to the Eastern Conference Finals and winning it all. Because once you get past the Nets, I really don't think the Suns are really gonna beat anyone on the East. If it comes down to either the Celtics, Bucks, or Nets, that I honestly feel like those are the three finalists to go to the finals. I really don't think the Suns can beat teams like that.
You're counting the Bulls out?
The Bulls can't beat a team over 500. I mean, the Bulls can't beat a top three seed team.
Okay. Yeah, this is where like my knowledge of basketball lacks, but it makes me laugh. So you're counting out the Western Conference this year?
Not really. Not so much counting out. I just feel like there's a whole bunch of teams that really went that should be good but went downhill.
Yeah, well, this is the last topic I got, so we'll just dive into it.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Go ahead.
For the Western Conference, it's the Lakers and Spurs.
Yeah.
Lakers could lose their 10th spot in that play-in tournament. Yeah. So they might not even get the playoffs.
Yeah.
So
the Lakers not even into the play-in, let alone the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. Lakers are 31-43.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
The Spurs are 31-44.
You just look at the names on that roster and you're just like, how are they not winning 60 games?
Exactly.
It doesn't, you know, obviously it makes sense. They're old, slow, and beat up and stuff. Yeah. But it's just like, you know, and you see like, this is where I really question what's going on with LeBron. Does he still have that leadership? Does he still have what he had?
I think he does. I just think he can't do it all himself anymore.
I just don't know if like surrounding a guy who's already aged with more aged guys is helpful.
At that point, he needs
to be surrounded with
youth. LeBron brings the ball. He can go score. He can shoot. Blah blah. But you need him.
He's a point forward, and everyone knows it. Even as bigger, as strong as he runs the floor.
But you need to surround him with people who can shoot the ball consistently.
I don't even know about shoot, but they need to be able to score. They have to be a reliable hand that he can pass the ball off to and know 75% of the time when it's open, it's on.
Because he's passing
right now, and it's just not.
Anthony Davis is out. He got hurt.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's losing.
Now you're passing the Horton Tucker. Okay, he can score, but like he's not consistent.
He's not putting up 30 a night.
And that's where LeBron will take in that, well, I don't know if I trust him, and he'll try to put more on his back.
Exactly.
Which he's not at the age anymore where he can take up a whole game. Obviously, he still can. He still puts up games over 40 and stuff. But when you're in the playoffs, you need to play 7 games in a row.
Yeah.
And that's with one night off in between.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes putting up 40, 50 by yourself isn't even enough.
That's what I'm saying. And in the playoffs, it's usually not. In the playoffs, it usually takes 2 or 3 guys above 20, 30 points with multiple, you know, stat sheet fillers on top of that just to win a game.
And that's why I feel like the Suns are so good. Because I don't think if I had to, you know, compare the Suns to any other team, I really feel like, you know, since you're a baseball guy, I really feel like they're the epitome of what the Rays are. They're such a great built team. And with the leadership of Chris Paul coming into the thing and having a coach, you know, prior experience with a coach like Monty Williams, you know, with him back in Charlotte, you know, it adds, you know, familiarity, you know, it adds great chemistry to the team. And Chris Paul, you know, going into the Rockets, you know, being in a toxic environment with James Harden, we all know how being a teammate to James Harden is. I really feel like the addition of Chris Paul was a great addition.
It was a huge addition for
the Suns, and it was really good for Chris Paul himself, because it honestly showed these past two seasons that Chris Paul has been on the Suns that he can lead a team just as much as LeBron can right now. Because look at his team right now.
I was going to say, compared to LeBron, and he's leading the charge.
Exactly.
On a good team,
and especially since Chris Paul was out for I think Chris Paul was out for 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah,
the Suns were still killing
shit. And he came back in
and stepped right back in. And that has to do with Devin Booker as well. And we actually wanted to touch upon this is why isn't Devin Booker's MVP case as strong as it should be?
Oh, yeah? What's he putting up?
Devin Booker?
Booker's putting up the same numbers, if not a little bit more, than Jason Tatum this year. And Jason Tatum is number 3. No, number 4 on the
MVP watch.
On the MVP ladder. So, I honestly, you know, me and my friend Yanello, we go back and forth because he's a huge fan of Devin Booker, right?
Okay.
I honestly think Devin Booker is a great player.
Yeah.
Great player. You know, coming from the bottom of the barrel, you know, being with the Suns organization from a poverty franchise to back-to-back years being NBA final, you know, contenders. Yep. You know, it it's really great for him. You know, it's fun to see him play. You know, as much as I hate to say it, because you know he could go to the finals and he could beat us.
Beat your team.
He could beat our team. You know, it's fun to watch. And Devin Booker, you know, he's a great
highlight.
He's a great person off, on and off, you know, the court.
Yep.
And he adds so much value. He's the catalyst for that Suns team. So 100%. I honestly think he should be higher. I honestly think. But, the, you know, you have the conversation with DeMar DeRozan as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
DeMar DeRozan, you know, at some point in time, Zach LaVine was out. You know, all he had was Vucevic. Yeah, Vucevic is going to give you 25, you know, 10 rebounds and stuff like that. But there was a point in time where they were going on 7-8 game win streaks, you know, weeks apart because of DeMar, you know, hitting game winners, hitting the shots that stepping he needs in. To. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Being that catalyst that he needs to be for the Bulls and for the Bulls to come off being – probably what a top 13 team in the league, being in the bottom of the barrel team, to now being top six, top seven.
To be in the contention for having a locked in.
Yeah, I feel like that's what an MVP. That's what
the contributions of an MVP should be. Embodies. Yeah, exactly. You guys talked about it a lot on the last podcast. Yeah, but it's true. Yeah, like did your MVP, like that's where I would consider more so that Chris Paul is the MVP of that team. Not Booker. As well as Booker's performing, he's getting better. By way of Chris Paul.
Yeah.
You know, if DeMar DeRozan is that guy who's representing to that team that he's the guy, that's the MVP.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Know? That's the thing why I bring back Devin Booker's, you know, MVP resume is Chris Paul was out, but they were still winning games.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they only lost three or four games.
Yeah, three or four games. Yeah.
In a span of 4 to 6 weeks, that's insane.
Yep.
So the fact is, you know, I feel like Devin Booker definitely should be higher on the MVP ladder. And I honestly don't think Nikola Jokic should be on that. Because Nikola Jokic...
Yeah, talked about this last week.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah,
he's good, but like I don't think he's top three.
Exceptional. Yeah. Exceptional for the Nuggets. Exceptional. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're on the brink of almost playing in the play-in tournament, you know, if Nikola Jokic is number one on the Lakers, I mean, on the Nuggets, you know, plus minus, I think he leads in assists, points, rebounds, steals. Like, I think he literally does it all for that team. I honestly think that makes Danny was touching up on it on the last episode. I honestly think that makes LeBron's case even stronger for MVP.
Yeah, and
he has a losing record, but
I think it's a better case.
At the same time, as LeBron's putting up
more than Giannis numbers.
More than Giannis this year, I think. Just as much as Giannis, if not more. So
you have to make the case for everybody if you're
going to make it. Exactly. If you're going to do it for one person, you got to make it for the
I'm going to end this podcast on a hot topic. I was just thinking about this when I was looking at shit.
What's up? Talk to me.
So you know how Lakers are in the verge of not making playoffs or playoff tournament, right? What does this mean for LeBron? You think LeBron leaves, goes to Cleveland?
If I know LeBron, or... if I know LeBron well, he's getting the fuck out of there.
Or you're going to be surprised what I'm going to say, but I don't think you're going to be that surprised. He goes plays with Curry.
Oh. Now, that's something I can see him going and do.
Tell me not. When they play in the All-Star game, they look like fucking teammates already. So tell me not why LeBron wouldn't take the opportunity to go play with Curry.
I don't think. Honestly, I feel like it's like not a 50-50% chance
happens. He's friends with Draymond, too.
I just feel like it wouldn't be good for LeBron's legacy.
Oh, it'd be shitty for the league, too. But
imagine
that. I mean, to be honest, I don't think it would be shitty for the league because I feel like the Suns are running away with everything.
Yeah.
That's fair.
The Memphis Grizzlies are your second seed.
Like, bro.
Curry's out for the season.
Think about this lineup. You got James Wiseman at center. You got Draymond. Wait, what?
James Wiseman would definitely get traded.
Okay.
He still has that. That's the thing. To give up LeBron, you're giving up James Wiseman. You're giving up Jordan Poole. You're giving up Kuminga. Well, and
I think LeBron can
You're giving up three picks.
I think LeBron can opt out of his contract, though.
This year?
He definitely can. No, he definitely can because he signed opt-outs on almost every
If he
fucking
don't
want
to play, I don't think he can go in the free agency and he can take a deal for Warriors for like $10 million.
Let me see.
He wouldn't put himself that low, but yeah.
No, he said it, at this point in his career, he's not worried about the money no more. He just wants to play basketball.
Well, yeah, you know why? Because he's already a billionaire, so it doesn't fucking matter.
But like, yeah, all right, say he does go to free agency. Imagine this lineup: James Wiseman, Draymond Green, LeBron, Klay Thompson, Curry.
They have Jordan Poole coming out.
Exactly.
Good, Andrew Wiggins.
Uh huh.
I don't think they have the cap for him though.
I don't think so.
I think they're way over the luxury tax. But they're very much over the luxury tax.
I'd like to see him go back to Cleveland though. That'd be a fun team to watch.
All I can say is I don't anticipate him being in that purple next year.
Yeah,
you think so?
I don't think he's in yellow and purple next year.
I think he stays.
They're gonna have to do a lot of.
I just think he rebuilds the team once again.
I think he might rebuild the team once again. The thing is, he's just at the point in his career that it would be easier for him to outsource.
Yeah.
So. And you see what he did going from Cleveland to Miami the first time. And I take that into consideration. And
I think the Lakers would have to prove this offseason with what they
want to put. I honestly think you tank this season. You let AD get 100% healthy.
Well, they might trade AD.
Nah, I don't think you trade AD. I think AD, if he stays, you know, you give him time to be healthy, especially if you tank this year.
Yeah.
What is that like? 6 to 8 months.
It's a lot of recovery time.
Exactly, a lot of recovery time. A lot of time to work on a game. 100%. And I honestly think big moves happen with, you know, trading Russell Westbrook.
That's a big trade piece.
I think, as I said before, they should trade Russell for John Wall.
John Wall did not. John Wall didn't want to play.
John Wall's sitting on the bench for
$44 million.
They're not playing him. He's just sitting on the bench.
What a. Guy.
He said he's literally playing.
He said he wants to play, but the Rockets said, no, we're not playing you.
We're not playing.
So,
KPJ.
They just want KPJ. Kevin Porter Jr. to really step up.
They want to give him minutes and stuff like that. But
that's stupid. Like, you can play John Wall and KP together, and he can learn from John Wall while he's playing.
I can't even fathom that in my mind.
So, he's sitting on the bench for $44 million.
Well, I would do it too. But that's crazy, right?
I don't think that's fair.
Well, no, it's not fair, but what do you do? Like, what do you do as a player? Like, okay, you're going to pay me to sit here while I guess I'm going to study. Like, what, you know, that's all you can do. Like, oh, I guess I'm going to work on my game because you don't want to play me. Like, exactly. What are you supposed to do? He's in a bad spot, man.
But I honestly think, like...
Contract up this year?
No, he has a...
Yikes.
I think he has one more year left.
Yikes. Yikes.
They'll train this offseason.
Do you think so?
They should.
They said they want to, but they haven't found the right thing.
But that's the thing. I really feel like...
Because the Rockets offered John Wall for Russell. Lakers didn't pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Let me look up his contract real quick before we end.
I honestly think Bradley Beal leaves this offseason too.
Mm-hmm.
The Wizards. What do you think about Dame? You think he stays?
He's going to stay.
I don't know.
Tell you right now, he's gonna stay.
I say he stays, but they're not adding pieces. Mm. You know, you have a great player in Anthony Simons.
Oh,
Anthony Simons.
Wait,
is
what season are we in? 2021 to 2022, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's got another thing.
He's got another year, right?
Bro, his base salary for next year is $47 million.
Yeah. So I was gonna ask this. Don't you have to find a team that can take that cap?
That's exactly what I'm saying. So
your trade options are pretty limited.
Like, he'll be 32 next year,
yeah.
And then when he hits free agency, he'll be 33. If he doesn't get traded.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Bro, the NBA salary rules are so wild.
Nah, yeah, definitely. And that's where I say I think the Lakers are stupid for not trading it, but at the same time, it's, you know, you're not paying Russell Westbrook $44 million a year. I don't think he has that big of a contract.
He's at 30 something.
Probably like mid-30s, maybe lower end 30s.
They could buy him out. They could buy John Wall out and just have him hit free agency this year, which they might do.
I think that's the most.
Because
I don't
pay him.
I don't think anyone's giving up that much for John Wall.
Yeah.
Because John Wall, don't get me wrong, he's a great player. But injuries messed him up as well.
Yeah,
just like he tore his Achilles walking down the stairs.
Just like Porzingis. Dallas barely got shit for Porzingis.
Yeah,
from the Wizards.
They didn't get nothing. But
it's going to be an interesting season.
It's going to be fun.
See what happens, right?
Yes, sir.
Fun time in the playoffs.
But I think that's going to wrap it up for today. Thank you guys for listening. This episode will probably be out on Friday. And yeah, stay tuned for more, and I'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Word.
See ya.